John chapter 3. How many of you ever wondered, you don't have to raise your hand on this, about, you know, you see churches that seem to always do well. Lots of people, you know, lots of attendance. And maybe sometimes you think to yourself, well, I wonder why maybe I should go to that church. You know, we see something looks like it's happening somewhere. We wonder if we should jump and get over there with them. That's what we're going to see here in John chapter 3. It doesn't just happen, and, you know, it does happen today. People take their kids. Guys, if all the families who took their kid, who went to a different church because there weren't enough kids here, would have stayed, we'd be looking for a place to house all those kids. But that's what happens, is they look for an activity, you know, something to keep the kids occupied. Got a request this week. A friend of mine said they're looking for a church, probably be here Sunday. But what do we have for the kids? You know, what do you have? Nursery? Do you have, you know, all that kind of stuff? And I get it as a parent. I completely understand the question. You know, I have to wonder what people are looking for in church. You know, what is it that we're after when we go to church? And are we really wanting to dig in the Word and learn the Word? Do we want to know what the Bible says? Or, you know, we just want to be encouraged and inspired and, you know, just, you know, help me to feel better about my life and tell me that I'm going to heaven. That's really, you know, what a lot of people are looking for. Well, the reality is there's only one way to heaven. That's Jesus. And church doesn't, you know, becoming a member of the church won't help get you to heaven. Getting baptized won't help you get there. You know, you got to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Do you realize you're a sinner and you know Jesus died for you and you ask his forgiveness and you put your trust in him, you surrender your life to him, you are saved. That's it. And he washes your sins away, writes your name in the book of life. And I believe, yes, absolutely, you ought to demonstrate that by burying the past in the waters of baptism, buried with him in baptism, risen to walk in newness of life. Absolutely, become part of the church and get active. You know why a lot of saved people struggle? Because they're not faithful to church. They're not consistent with church. They don't go to church every time the doors are open. Okay, you know, somebody says, well, what about so-and-so? Well, you know, we take a day off every once in a while and have to take a break. I get it. You got other things to do. People go to the beach, mountains, whatever. I'm not opposed to that. Just don't do it all the time, right? Just come back. Just don't be gone everywhere all the time. But you know, that happened early in the ministry. Understand, there was one guy who was preaching and baptizing, putting together the elements, the material for the church that would be. And his name was John the Baptist. And God, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And we know his story, how he was a miracle birth and a miracle pregnancy. And we realize that he was the forerunner for Jesus. He was, in fact, the cousin of Jesus. And that he was about 6 months older and he went out preaching along Jordan. Of course, his favorite suit was camel hair, right? I've often wondered if I could pick one up. And his favorite meal was locusts and wild honey. He was not your ordinary urban kind of guy. He wasn't big city yuppie, right? He was a country boy. And I bet he was barefoot all the time. But anyway, he was out there and he was baptizing people. He was preaching against sin. And when the politician showed up, he preached against their sin. Called them by name, in fact. Called their sins by name. And boy, he was not very popular with some of the people. But the Bible says that the people came from the city out to hear this old country preacher by the river preaching. And they came to be baptized. And they came to put their faith in God and demonstrate that by being baptized, washing. You know, that washing was a ceremonial washing from the Old Testament. It was a Jewish thing. It was not new with John the Baptist, but it had new meaning. And he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then one day Jesus came along and Jesus got baptized by John the Baptist. And John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Yeah, amen. That's great. And somebody was talking to John. They say, well, you know, what should we do? He said, man, this guy right here that got baptized, y'all need to go with him. And so, of course, remember that they did. The first apostles that followed Jesus were originally John the Baptist's disciples. And they followed along with Jesus, and they had fellowship with him, and they learned, and he taught them, and they said to their family, "Oh, you got to come meet this guy. Man, he is excellent. You got to hear him talk. He knows everything there is about God and life," right? Now, that's, you won't find that written in the Bible. That's just surmising what they said. And so then John the Baptist stayed, and he kept preaching, and he kept baptizing, and Jesus wandered, you know, along the way on his journeys through Galilee and all Judea and everywhere, and he preached. And then we come to verse 22. "After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized." So now it's not just John baptizing, but this new group led by Jesus is baptizing. Verse 23, "And John was also baptizing in Enon near to Salim, because there was much water there." And that's important, isn't it? You know, they weren't sprinkling. They were baptizing. Had to have enough water to put them under. And they came and were baptized. John was not yet cast into prison. So what did you have? You have two ministries preaching the same message, right? The same message that John was preaching. That's what Jesus is preaching. And they're baptizing. They're demonstrating their faith the same manner through baptism as John had them doing. And so in verse 25, there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. So the Jews say, "Well, you know, this is not a new thing. We've been doing this thing. This is old stuff. This is not a new thing." And so they got to talking about it. And then they got to talking about Jesus is doing it up there too. His church is doing it up there. And they got to talking about it. Then they went to John. In verse 26, "They came to John, and they said to him, 'Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth. Look, and all men come to him.'" Hey, John, have you noticed attendance has dropped? Have you noticed we're not having the same crowds as we used to? Have you noticed that brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so don't come here anymore? They go somewhere else. You know where they're going. They're going up there. What do you think about that? Man, and so the question, here's the question. Do we need to be going over there too? That's the question. Or do we need to take them out? I mean, is this something that, should we be jealous? Because, you know, a lot of times you hear pastors get up, preachers get up, and they just blast other churches. You know, blast all these other churches. And a lot of that is based, in my opinion and experience, on jealousy. And that is creeping in to the John's disciples here, and they're jealous for John. "John, you know, we feel bad for you, man. Those people are going up there to the other church now. All men go to him." Verse 27. "John answered and said, 'A man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven.'" You know what John said? John said, "I trust God. I just trust God." You know, as we watch churches, healthy churches, go through cycles. And we'll have seasons of great growth. And then we need seasons of teaching. Because if you get too much growth and not enough teaching, all you have is a bunch of shallow Christians. And so you have to slow down just a minute and teach. And make sure that everybody's growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as they mature in their faith, if they'll stick around long enough, right, they'll be consistent enough. They'll grow in their understanding of God and church and ministry and Christianity. And they'll grow in the knowledge of the Bible. And you know, it's so exciting to me when I hear people say, "I just love reading my Bible." Because I'll guarantee you something. This is more important than this. The Word of God is so much more important. Now, be careful with understanding what I'm going to say. The Word of God is more important than the preacher or the church. Now, look, I think we ought to have a good pastor. I think we ought to have a good preacher, and he ought to be biblical. And I think we ought to have a good church. But we've got to have the Word of God, and we need it not just in this room. We need it when we're home. We need to read it at home. We need to read it at times. You say, well, I don't understand it. But the more you read it, the more you'll understand it. And especially if, here's what I would encourage you to do if you don't do this, is when you come to church, you hear what's preached, go home and go over it again. Same text. And say, I wonder if I can get the same thing out of there the preacher got out of it. Does it really say what he says it says? All right, start there. And then you'll develop understanding. A man can receive nothing except to be given him from God. God is in control. And John's reliance and trust is in God, as should ours be. We've got to trust God. He didn't get jealous. He didn't say, well, you know, attendance is down, maybe I should resign. You know? And that's hard because pastors, you know, pastors have this expectation of ourselves that the church ought to be growing. By the way, a church ought to be growing. I just say it plainly. Ought to be people getting saved. Ought to be people getting baptized. Ought to be people joining the church. Right? But when we reach one of those periods that doesn't happen, a lot of times pastors get discouraged and just quit. That's the wrong attitude. John said the growth comes from God. Isn't that what Jesus said? Jesus said that. Paul said that. Paul said God gives the increase. We got to preach and we got to water, but it's up to God whether he adds to it. Every visitor that walks in here, I know we do a lot. We do a lot of outreach and a lot of promotion, and you know, we try to get people's attention toward the church, try to get them through those doors. But let me tell you something. If they get here, it's because God brought them here. Now, it's up to us how we treat them when God brings them here. And we ought to treat them right. We ought to make them feel welcome. And I appreciate the other day that student that was here, and she says she'll be back this Sunday. But I said, did everyone make you feel welcome? And she said, yes. And so that's, you know, so important that we make people feel welcome. Verse 28, you yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that is the bride, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Now, let me clarify something here. The bride of Christ is the church. We get saved, we get baptized, we unite with God's church. We are part of the bride. John the Baptist was not baptized. Therefore, he is not part of the bride. He is, and he declares himself here, the friend of the bridegroom. He said, I'm the friend of Jesus. I'm not the bride. I'm not the groom. I'm the friend that standeth and heareth him. And boy, isn't it incredible that John says, I got to hear Jesus. He said, man, my heart just overflows because I got to hear Jesus. Isn't that going to be incredible? Think about that. When we get to heaven, and maybe we'll hear him before that, right? When he says, come up here, right? Maybe we'll hear him when he calls us up. But can't you just imagine how wonderful it'll be to be with our Savior? I know we've got loved ones there that we want to see them. We want to hug their necks. We sing a song that says, I'm going to shake my mama's hand when I get to heaven. Boy, that was written by a Yankee, wasn't it? We hug around here, don't we? Man, we're going to hug our mamas and we're going to hug Jesus and we just look forward to hearing the bridegroom. Don't be offended because I said Yankees. I'll be all right. He said, my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He says, man, if I die right now, I'm satisfied, John said. I got to be in the presence of Jesus. Isn't that what Simeon said? When Jesus was brought to the temple and Simeon says, now I can die. Man, I've seen the Christ. I've seen the consolation of Israel. And then verse 30. He must increase. I must decrease. We have got to learn how to be small in our own minds. We have got to learn how to be humble, how to be servants, how to be expendable in our own minds. See, we're not programmed that way, are we? We want people to like us. We want people to love us. We want people to want us around. Chloe was knocking on the door trying to get in Elijah's room today, and Elijah said, I don't want you in here. And she said, Dad, he won't let me in his room. I said, baby, learn something right now. Don't ever go where you're not wanted. Don't ever be where you're not. If you're not wanted, you don't want to be there. And I know that's hard for a six-year-old to comprehend, but I get it. I don't want to be where I'm not wanted. John said he must increase. Oh, let's make it about Jesus. John says this has never been about me. Guys, y'all are making this about me. Y'all are making this about our congregation. John says, guys, it's always been about him. I said that he is, I go before him, but he's the one. Now, John didn't say this because, I mean, he still had work to do and he needs some people around. But guys, y'all really should be going up there. I mean, why are you still following me? I was the one that was announcing him, but, you know, that was my job. He's here. Now, y'all should be following him all through the mountains and up through the coast and all around Israel. He must increase. I must decrease. Never make ministry about you. And yet so many come to church not of how we can make Jesus bigger, but how Jesus can help us. And the truth is, He can. Oh, He can. He wash our sins away, give us peace, teach us so much by the things that He said, not only when He was in earthly ministry, but the things that He said by the other writers. He can teach us so much about life. But we need to think about Him making Him bigger. Not the church, not the preacher. Jesus. Verse 31, He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. John says, guys, here's what you got to understand. All of my experience is here. Like, I could talk about Judea. He can talk about heaven, not just in a mental way, not just in an imaginative way, but He's been there. John says, I'm from here. This is all I know. I'm limited in my scope. I'm earthly, but He's from heaven. Imagine Jesus talking about creation. Imagine Him talking about that week of creation, or maybe the planning that went on before it, because you know there was planning. The Bible said before the foundations of the earth, right? Before the foundation of the world, there was a plan. So there was some deliberation and conversation. I don't know where mosquitoes came up, but they were in there somewhere. He that cometh from heaven is above all. I want to learn from Jesus. I want to know what He has to say. I want to talk to Him. That's what we need. We need prayer time. We need meditative time. We need to just spend time in quiet communion with the Savior. Just love Him and worship Him. Verse 32. And what He has seen and heard, that He testifieth. Man, He could tell us all about Moses. He could tell us all about the pyramids. He could teach us all those things. Because He was there. And no man receiveth His testimony. They said, John, everyone's going. John says, no one's listening. Did y'all catch that? It's right there. Verse number 26, all men come to him. Verse number 32, no man receiveth his testimony. What an incredible difference. They're all gone, but nobody's listening. Can you imagine if they knew who he was? Imagine if they understood as he shook their hands and handed them fish and bread and wine or all these different things that happened in his life. Can you imagine if they just understood that was God? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. By Him all things were made, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Isn't that incredible? And there He was, standing by the river, as people were being baptized, preaching. And John says, but they don't get it. Guys, people have a concept of who Jesus is, but do we really get, understand, comprehend our Jesus? Verse 33, he that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. God is true. You know why? Because when God made that promise to Abraham, when Abraham offered Isaac, Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. And he did. Provided himself on Calvary. Himself. The promise to Adam and Eve and Abraham and Moses and Noah and all the prophets of the Old Testament and all the kings of the Old Testament and all the way up. He says, look, if you accept Jesus, then it sets to the seal that God is true. Verse 34, for he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. If we want God to send us, we've got to speak His Word. If we want God to make use of us, we've got to get in His Word. We've got to know His mind. We've got to know His heart. We've got to be an extension of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. You see that? Ooh, look at that. You understand that God will only equip us and use us according to our surrender? That's it. So the Spirit of God is given to us by measure. You say, well, how come I don't feel the presence of the Holy Spirit? By measure. We want to get with God. We want to spend time in prayer, spend time in His Word, go out and minister, go out and help people, go out and do the things that God would have us to do. And as we do that, you know what happens? We get promoted. And we get a raise. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about a bigger measure. A bigger measure so that God can use us more and more. The more that we're used, the more that He gives us to be used. But not Jesus. You see, Jesus didn't have a portion of the Spirit. He was full of the Spirit. He had God on him because he is God. As he was baptized, the Spirit descended like a dove. In other words, just swooped down out of heaven. They saw it. They wrote about it. They said, wow, look at that. Because he was beginning his ministry. Verse 35, the Father loveth the Son and has given all things into his hand. Guys, y'all are here because you're jealous, because their church is growing bigger than ours is, John says. It wouldn't happen if it wasn't God's plan. I'm just going to keep trusting God, but here's my thing. It's all about Him anyway. It's all about Jesus. Verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth presently on him. You see, I appreciate the concern that those guys had for their pastor, as it was. They wondered, how come that church is growing and ours isn't? In fact, some of our people are up there now. John said, I'm not worried. I'm going to keep doing what God tells me to do. And I'm going to keep trusting God to do his work. So guys, he didn't say this here. If I were you, I'd go where Jesus is. But I will say to you, that's what we ought to be doing. Well, we ought to be, number one, we ought to bring God with us. Amen. We go to church. Because we have the presence of God. But we ought to go to a church, ought to be a church where the presence and power of God rests upon us and works through us. Let's stand. Father, we're grateful for this message tonight that exposes the humanity of those who were in John's time just as they are today. Not much has changed. But God, we realize we should make much of Jesus. We should make much of the idea that we must be less and he must be more. Or may we always make our services, our worship, about Jesus, our lives about Jesus. Thank you for your blessings. Guide us as we leave this place. Bring us back again. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.